3. Let's pick up at 21 and read down to 23. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll read 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. As we approach it, we pray our hearts and minds are clear to receive it. We pray that the truth of it might be impressed on our hearts, and not just for knowledge, but that we might have a sincere desire to do the things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. Pray for each member represented today. Strengthen us according to our needs as we read and believe your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, we left off there with the righteousness of God being revealed without the law, being manifested without the law. And that is how a man could be righteous in God's sight without performing. And that is, I guess, the question of the day is, how can a man be righteous in God's sight without performing? When I say performing, he gave the law. God gave the law as a standard of his righteousness. We agree with that, right? Yes. The Ten Commandments being a summary, if you will, encapsulated. And he gave it to the Jews, not to prove that they can do it, but to prove that they could not do it. They could not attain righteousness by works. And it was never intended to be that way. It was intended by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law, that sin would become exceeding sinful. Question is, yeah, I hear it. There's a dog, right? Why is God concerned about impressing on the hearts and minds of the Jews, and not just the Jews, all men? Why was God so focused on showing man that he was guilty, that he's sinful?
To have them basically say, Lord, have mercy on me. I can't do this. I need your help.
Can't do what?
Because man was so intent on proving
good
without God.
He was intent on proving that he was useful, right? He's intent that he's proven that he is good, that he is.
Well, they said at Mount Sinai, all the Lord has said for us to do, we'll do it. They had no self awareness.
We're in Romans 3. There's too much going on here. Excuse me for one there. One second. All right. But we know that man could not do it. He was already, it wasn't that God had to prove it to himself. He had to prove it to man that he was already in a state of rebellion. We know that from chapters 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, and part of 3, where he concludes that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And that's not just that I made a mistake. We think of sin, you know, I slipped up, I made a mistake.
Disqualification.
That... when God is talking about the sin, you made a provision for this. You thought of it ahead of time. That's why when you look at chapter 2, he was giving you the outline about, I say his body parts, man's body parts, but when Paul starts this list, he says, this is 2:3-11. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Then he goes on, he talks about their throat, their tongues, their lips, their mouth, their feet, their ways. You got a question? And their eyes. That is describing That's describing his heart and his mind. Isn't it? God's telling man that there's not a man out there that really wants to worship and serve him, that's making that decision to do that. You agree with me? Okay. So, by God giving a standard to a man, all that would do is make his sin exceeding sinful. Is in Romans 5, it says this, that all have sinned and death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Even those who have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. You know what that means? Even though they didn't do the same thing that he did, what did he do? They did disobey God, right? But he said they didn't do the same thing maybe they didn't disobey in the same way. You didn't have a fruit that you weren't supposed to eat.
Right.
But the principle of it is you still didn't do what? What he wanted. And it was not an accident. Was it? Adam, it didn't sneak up on him, did it? He did it willingly. That's why he's doing a comparison, he says, by one God is listing one man's disobedience in comparison to one man's obedience. So we got real familiar with disobedience, didn't we? But now he's going to show you one man's obedience. Just by one man's disobedience, you became a sinner. You became a sinner by position and practice. And you prove it, don't we? So by one man's sin, you have all, and death by sin. So as by one man's righteousness or one man's obedience, many will become righteous. And that also changes what? Your position from a sinner to a what?
Saint.
To a saint. From a sinner to a saint. That should, and we haven't gotten that far, but it should affect your practice also. So when we get to Romans 6, we'll look more into that. But now, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And we did talk about David and Abraham. He just picks two out, and he expounds upon that in chapter 4. He picks two out, and we looked at that. What Abraham received was imputed righteousness. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. How did he get it? He simply believed God, and it his faith was counted to him for what? Righteousness. What this is before he got circumcised, before he did any works at all, he believed that what God had promised him. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's Abraham. David deserved sin, his sin, to be imputed to him. And God told Nathan that he would not impute his sin to him. He told Nathan that God said he had put away his sin. Didn't he? Did he say that? Was that anything that David did to deserve that? By the righteousness and justice of God, what should have happened to David?
Should have been killed. No provision for what he did in the law.
There was no exception, was it? Wow. Wait a minute.
No, but he spoke as a king and said he should be
killed. He even said it, didn't he? He knew. He was familiar with the word. He knew that he should not escape the judgment of God. But Nathan comes and has God ever said that to all men that I'm going to make an exception for you prior to Paul? What do you think David felt when he heard from Nathan?
You are the man.
Not you are the man, but God hath put away your sin. What do you think he felt when he heard that?
Gratitude.
Gratitude, relief.
Disbelief.
Disbelief.
It's like, holy moly.
He's
good
here.
Now, Melissa said he repented, though. He repented after.
After he got caught.
After what?
After he got caught.
Well, it's not like he was never caught.
Mm-hmm.
He repented.
Amen.
Not willingly. After he was exposed. And he said, you are the man. Like he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But when he hears Nathan, he says, don't worry, David. God had put away thy sin. What? But
why?
You know, that's a good question. Not that I'm not grateful, but why? Now, this is I'm staying generic, but it's so much involved in this because David is a type of Christ. So in his life, just like some of those other characters, they're displaying aspects of the image of God. God had, just like God promised Abraham a kingdom and that he would be a blessing through his seed, he wasn't really talking about Abraham. He was talking about his seed, which is Galatians, which is one, which is Christ. He says the same thing to David when he says, of thy seed, the kingdom will have no end. He wasn't really speaking about David. That's why when you get to the Gospels, and they would say, well, how does David, by the Spirit, say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Anyway, I bring it back in. They're types of Christ. If you get that, that's good. That means the things that happened in their life was snapshots. Things that you should file away, and you get little bits and pieces of what God will do through His Son through them. Not the sinning part, though, Johnny. Just the reigning and the ruling part. And how can God tell us through the Scriptures that David was a man after His own heart, and then he goes and does something like that? Mm-hmm. Or it was, and before he was even king, God picked David. Not because he deserved it. It was something that God was doing.
But he also picked up his head of faith, even if he picks away, right?
He wouldn't pick somebody what?
Without faith.
Well, of course he'd know whether you believe him or not.
Right.
Do you think he knew he was going to do that?
Yeah.
You sure? Did he stop him? Why not?
So we can do all this.
Okay. So you can learn. That's why, you know what? So David could be a witness.
Uh-huh.
For you. Mm-hmm. And that's true. He says, now, guess what? He says, David comes, he says, here's what today. Will you tell a man, God is not counting your sin against you. So I can't believe that. He has a problem with that. We have a problem with that. You know why? Because you're so bad. Willingly. That's what sin is. It's not like it sneaks up on you. It's hard for you to believe that God is not counting your sin against you. Now he's not.
Unless you do something after the sin, like say 5 Hail Marys or something.
Right.
That's what they say.
Right. Well, you're brought up in that law mentality, so
that's what he's trying to do, is get you out of that works mentality. Mm-hmm. Is one man got you in it, and he'll tell you that one man, the second Adam, is going to get you out of this. That's why he can say, but now the righteousness of God without the law is, and we joked about it somewhat, you have your own law. People have their own law today. When I say law, they have their own list of things that they feel they can and can't do as believers to get saved, to stay saved, or you got to prove you're saved. They have their own list, and it varies from each person.
Outward.
Now, watch this. You got a list. You got a list. You who are saved by grace and know it, you still have a list. You have a list in your mind. Sure you do. Sure you do. You have a list in your mind. If you see some activity that doesn't quite agree with you, he can't be saved. That's your knee-jerk reaction. You know how I know that? Not because it's my knee-jerk reaction. Because he said it in Romans 2 that you are excusing or accusing one another. That doesn't change because that's your nature. Those tendencies are still there. And if you're honest, Here you go. Here's a man. I won't give that example. If you're honest, you know you have that tendency to evaluate each other. Mary, don't you? You have that tendency to say, how could he do that? Or why is he not doing that? I'll let you.
Well, I'm going to pray for him.
I'll let you.
Jesus.
Same thing. But now, the righteousness of God. How right is that? How right is the righteousness of God?
Righteousness.
James called the law the what? The perfect law of liberty. And then Paul turns around and he calls it the ministry of death.
Of death. And condemnation.
And both of those men are speaking by inspiration. That is, God told them, write this down. So, which one of these men is right? Is it the perfect law?
Yes.
Or is it the ministry of death?
Yes.
Yes and yes.
Well, ministry of death, I guess, speaks to the application to the individual.
There's no other application.
Right. Versus it is perfect. We just can't do it.
We just can't do it.
That's right.
That's Romans 8. Let's hold your hand at 3. We'll be back. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could... Romans 8:2. For what the law could not do, what could the law not do?
It could make you perform.
Oh, it can make you perform.
No, I mean, it can tell you that to do, but you got to do it.
So what the law?
There's no power in the law.
What the law could not do.
And that it was weak through the flesh.
What could the law not do?
Make you righteous.
Not that it couldn't make you righteous, because it could. It said what the law could not do
in that
or because it was weak through you. God. That's the but now. God, what? Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Condemned sin in the flesh. That purpose and intent, that the righteousness of the law might be what?
Fulfilled
in us that do it.
That
walk what? Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, don't let that word throw you off. Walk. That is
in our own power.
That's okay. That's true. I'm gonna give you an example. This word is, I think we talked about this before, is where you, anybody here in healthcare? They have what you call a peripatetic nurse. That means like periscope, you know, look around. That means this nurse She walks around. You know what she does? She checks in on all the patients because that's her concern. That's her job. And she goes in and she sees if there's anything they need, anything that she can help them with. That's her job, is to do that. We walk in the Spirit as a believer. He's not talking to unsaved people in chapter 8 about unsaved people. Your job is, as Paul would say in Galatians, to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit is in your heart and mind. You're concerned about the things that surround the Spirit. How do you think you get that?
Through
His Word. Rightly divided. Yes. So your time is, you spend your time around the Word, and you walk in that. You take those things that you learn, that you read, and you apply them by faith, and you find yourself walking in the Spirit. And you didn't even go to church, because it has nothing to do with location. It's,
because we are the church.
Because you are. So it's taking that word, applying it, and then you walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you have to have the Spirit before you can walk in the Spirit. That's why you have, before Romans chapter 8, you have
7.
Chapter 7. And before chapter 7,
6.
You have 6. And before 6, 5, and 4, and then you back at 3. And he says, but now you can get something called the righteousness of God without working for it. Would you be interested in that? Of course you would. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest by being witnessed by the law and the prophets. We got that? Abraham, David, right? We see what they received or not. We see what Abraham received. What did he receive?
Righteousness.
Right. What did David not receive?
Death. Condemnation.
Yes. Now, you know, it's interesting. I had to throw this in there because when David saw how good God's grace was, God had already told him the baby won't live.
Yeah.
And you know the story. He's praying for the baby. He wouldn't eat. He's fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. God will honor that.
Yeah.
He's fasting and praying. And all of a sudden, the baby dies.
Go take a shower.
That's so hard. He got up.
And he went up.
He took a shower, took a shave, he ate.
Like, what's wrong with you?
And his subjects, they saw that transformation, and they were
astonished.
Wow.
He didn't know it. God be merciful and let the baby live or not, but now he's going to go see the baby later.
Back up a little bit. He didn't know what?
If God would be merciful.
If God would be merciful. Like he was with him. See, when David got that grace, and they say, why you stop? He says, while the baby was alive, who could tell whether God would be gracious? That's experience. Because he just got out of it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Not just him, but Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if God really wanted to, he could have raised Uriah back up.
Mm-hmm.
Could he have not done that?
Mm-hmm.
But when David saw that, he said, "Is this too, it ain't too hard, is it?" Today, you know what you say? I know I'm saved by grace, but he can't be. He can't be. He couldn't possibly get the grace that God extended to me. Because look what he's doing. Forget David now. We on read in 2019 now. You see a guy. I'm going to go there. We're going to take a quick trip and back. This is the big topic today.
Yep. Been in this class too.
Isn't that? They jammed it down our throats every avenue. No. Radio, TV, print is, look, that's the homosexuality is the new norm. Mm-hmm. Get used to it. Oh, what is it? No. What is it? What's the acronym?
Oh, LGBT.
You are glad. Z3. It's out there.
Glad? No.
There's a glad one. There's
gay, lesbian.
Bisexual. Transgenders. LGBT.
There you go. There you go. Thank you.
You didn't do any research, huh?
Not enough.
not enough. Cramming it down his throat.
And then there'll be a P one day.
They're working on the P.
What's that?
Pedophilia. That's the next step. They're working on it.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is this. Okay. Are they sinners?
Sure. We all are.
Again. Did he die for sins?
Yes.
Sinners.
Sure.
Did he die for sin? Sins. And a sinner. What does it got? Oh. The guy told me that. It's the root, the fruit, and the suit. That's the beginning. We concentrate on this. The acts. So what if God, and he said, if he comes along, he says, Christ died for sin.
If you kill the root.
He says he died for sin. He's that the body of sin might be destroyed. Romans 6. And he died for sins. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, right? He died for sins. This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save
sinners of whom I am.
Okay, now, did he take care of the sin problem? And we're going to find out how he did that. He did, didn't he? Well, where does this fit in? If a man says, listen, I'm saved. I'm saved. I believe that. Christ died for my sins, buried, rose again the third day. I'm saved.
It's position versus condition, or position versus practice.
He's saved. It's just he's walking in the flesh and not in the spirit.
He's saved, but he's walking in the
flesh. He's not walking in the identity that's been imputed okay. to him.
Now, let me ask you something. How long can he do that and stay saved? How many times can he do that and stay saved? How many times can he do that, Johnny, and stay really saved?
Uh-oh.
really, really saved?
It's saved as a permanent condition.
Because it's not by what?
By what we do, it's by what he did.
All right.
On our behalf.
But you got to go back to the scripture too.
You have to go back to the scripture too.
That says, whom do you yield your members serving to obey, that whose servant you become?
Yeah.
Whether of sin?
Whether of sin unto life or life unto
Yeah, right.
Death.
Sin unto death or life? Who is that up to? Where do you fit in that? Where do you fit in that? Where do you fit in that, in his equation? Where do you, as a outside believer, fit in another man's struggle?
You don't.
Okay, yes you do. Your position in another sister or brother life is you praying, asking God to reveal, asking the Holy Spirit to do the work in them.
Galatians 6.
He said, the same thing I've done for you. With loving kindness have I drawn thee, so you have to offer that same love back to that person. Whether they trans, whatever. You got to love them first. You can't beat them up and preach them over the pulpit. You got to love them. Teach them love. What love? What make you go after this like this one? What's your hope?
If you receive the grace, you have to do what? Extend that same grace, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's Galatians 6. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you that
are spiritual, restore. Oh, I love that scripture. Thank you.
Okay, you love that scripture. What does he mean spiritual then?
Walking in the spirit.
Walking in the spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean? You that are walking in the spirit, restore such a one in the spirit of
meekness,
considering considering thyself.
That's right.
Okay, what does it mean when you said walking in the spirit?
Following after him and not yourself.
Following after him and not yourself.
Right.
Now, remember when we started off earlier, I said you still have that measure. You still have that measure where he can't be because he's doing this. That's not a spiritual process. That's not a spiritual mindset. Is this, which is, if you look, he's overtaken in a fault. You already know that. You don't have to go to him and say, you overtaken in a fault. He knows that. If he doesn't, it's a way to approach that. He said, don't know if you ever saw this verse, but in the beginning, God created them. And then you can go on down from there. And then he has to get to a point where is he going to walk in this truth or not? See, the same saving faith is the same sanctifying faith. If he only goes that far to be saved, that's it. You can't force sanctification on him. Because you're saved by grace, not of works.
It's a gift.
And you're sanctified by the same faith. And faith comes by
hearing by the word of God.
So you can tell him, but until he believes what God says about not just him being saved, but about his walk after that, you can talk and talk and talk and talk, but it's up to him.
That's why
or her.
You shouldn't talk unless they want to. I mean, you can tell them all that stuff in the Bible verses, but it's not something you should shove down in your throat because my sin, you know, I'm a sinner too. So
that's true.
If you talk to someone, it's like you're judging them. You're constantly judging them to believe.
Slow down. If you talk and talk and talk again, it's like you're judging. That's exactly. You have him on your performance. That's what we start. Look, I'm not your police officer. I'm the helper. I'm your helper. I don't make you start or stop anything. I can encourage you. Right? But, without getting too far off track, is we still have that knee-jerk reaction, whatever it is, that throws our flag up. Because you can know that's not, you know it's wrong. And as soon as you see one of those letters, it raises that flag up. You're on high moral alert.
So when he says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, we've been discussing outward expressions of that nature. But I would assume that would include doctrinal misapplications.
Sure. As a matter of fact, in Galatians, he's talking about people who were trying to perform to be acceptable. Good things.
Yeah, the law.
Now, I only went that way. What is it? Oh, I only went that way because we're at the but now. The righteousness of God without the law. That is, a man could be saved and be perfect in position. Whether he stops doing what you don't like or starts doing what you do like. You and me. Because even the righteousness of God, even the righteousness of God, which is or which comes by the faith of Jesus Christ. We talked about that. By the faith of the faith. Right. The faithfulness, the fidelity of Jesus Christ. When you look at Romans 2, he says, if a man could do these things, he'll live in them. The law. God's perfect standard for righteousness. The perfect law of liberty. Jesus Christ comes and he says what the law could not do. And we agree that it could make you what? What the law could not do, Jesus Christ came in the flesh, right? In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he came that he might condemn sin in the flesh. If you condemn sin, what does condemn mean?
Judge it.
If you
pronounce it. Guilty.
Destroy it.
Tear it down. That's why when you get to 6, he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So if we were buried with him in baptism,
we're identified with that putting away.
He said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be condemned. Same word, destroyed. That henceforth, if I condemn your house, you can't live here anymore. You can stand in that spot. And so I used to live here. But if the body of sin is condemned, is destroyed, you can't make yourself at home here anymore. But now the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ, his performance, his righteousness. His righteousness that he achieved is the righteousness of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Which of you convinced me of sin? We all, this man had done nothing amiss. Did he do it all? Okay. By the faith of Jesus Christ, it says, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, when Johnny asked that question a few weeks ago, and I've been meditating on that for some time, even before that.
What question?
About the glory of God. But he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He don't even remember he asked the question, which is fine. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. But if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it has to take you back to the beginning. Because that's how all came into sin. At the beginning. So you have to, something happened, whatever Adam experienced, and this is just for your consideration.
He lost his blood.
He was a recipient of that, a participant in it, a witness of it. Yes? Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're saying. What is it?
It, the glory of God.
Oh, okay.
So where he was, that position, that purpose, his person, they all went together with that. And God said this, all have sinned and lost it and come short of that. They've come short of the glory of God. Being justified
freely.
Being justified, being declared righteous freely. That's what it means. Being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, looking funny. What? Okay. All right. No. Being justified freely. Justified means declared righteous by
faith.
By faith. Who declared him righteous?
God.
Being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. That's the price paid. The efficacy of it. That means it's a ability to get the job done. His blood was the precious blood, and it was able to redeem. As Peter would say, we have not been redeemed by corruptible things, but by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, you know what made it precious, right?
He was sinless.
How do you know that?
God's own blood.
How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know it's God's own blood?
Or tells us that.
I know. Give me a verse.
God sent his son while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm. All right. He sent his son while we were yet sinners. That's it. Anybody want to add to that? What was he before he was a man who died on the cross?
He was equal with God.
Thought
it's
not a robbery.
All right. Keep going with that verse. If he was as God, then he gets down here in his little basket.
He was the Word made flesh.
He took on the likeness of sinful flesh,
but without sin. How did that happen?
Supernatural.
How did that happen?
The Holy Spirit.
How did that happen?
The daddy was God.
Yeah. How did that happen?
No sinful.
The foreknowledge is
because
a
determined
counsel.
He was able to pick the law.
When Joseph was espoused to Mary, before they had come together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. An angel appeared unto Joseph and said, Joseph, fear not to take Mary to thy wife. For that thing that's in her is of the Holy Ghost. When Jenny said God was her daddy, so the Holy Spirit, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Not of Adam.
The world knew him not.
That's how he was born without sin, because he didn't receive by one man. Mm-hmm. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men except for that man. Because this man,
he had a different DNA.
No. That's what made it precious. The blood. And that's what made it see, if I got $100 bill and you got $100 bill, and when I say bill, I mean if I owe $100, if you owe $100 and I owe $100, and we go down there, and if the bill is $200, who's gonna pay what? All right, rephrase that. We got a $200 bill. All right, let's try it this way. I'm trying to make it deficient.
And I can't write a check that I can cash.
So, if you got a $200 bill, and say you got $100, I got $50. Will it get paid? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's. I was trying to figure out a scenario where one person, you'd have to pay your bill or my bill, but you couldn't pay both. And that's how, if Christ was a sinner, he'd be paying his own bill. He couldn't pay his bill and my bill too. Nonetheless, the whole world. But we are justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a
propitiation, a satisfying
payment. John said he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's some kind of blood, isn't it? Because it has that word we just used.
The frightful of
it there.
Yeah. Kind of like what he's saying is he couldn't swear by any other by himself. It's like, well, you got that blood.
That's and it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
He's.
And the word precious blood would be for its rarity. There's no other blood like that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an actual. Your life is contained in your DNA. So when his blood was presented in the throne room of God, it's proof that he never wavered in faith and never sinned.
And we and it's listed. It's, this is where the offerings come in at. Where in Leviticus 16, he says, 11, says, I have given you the blood on the altar to make an atonement for your sin. He said, I've given you the blood. Because it still stands that the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die. Sin, death. That's a law. We just read it, Romans 8. The law of sin and death. And there's another law. The law of life and Christ. And the law of sin and death. You sin, somebody's got to die. Because the wage of sin is death. He says, I've given you the blood on the altar to make an atonement for your sins. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's what he just said. And that's why Jesus Christ says, I got a payment for you. God has a payment prescribed for you. Your purchased possessions. Right. That's after the fact. He says, God has set forth Jesus Christ as a... I know I'm spelling that wrong. Too many straight lines. I got one for you. He says, God has set forth as a mercy seat. That's what the word is. Propitiation means mercy seat. You know where you find that at? The mercy seat? You find that in the what?
Holy of Holies.
In the holiest of all, right. That's where the
third.
The on earth is where the sacrifice was made. Right. The priest goes into the third chamber, the holiest of all. That's where God was. That's where God says, you come to the holiest of all. Everybody, at any time.
Now.
No, he said, one man comes in here once a year. And not without blood. He said, you come in here, and on that altar, he says, God says, when you bring that blood, on that altar, I'll meet you there. What do you think? What is he going to meet him there for? To kill him?
To receive it. Reconcile.
That's what it's called. The Day of Reconciliation. Atonement. He said, there we will meet. Commune. Peace there. He said, you come in there, make sure you have the blood. And there's other things that he had, the priest, that he had with him or on him. Like his dress. The way he dressed, which we'll look at that next week. But he says, when Paul writes that, he says, God has set forth Jesus Christ as the propitiation. The mercy seat. The meeting place. You want me to declare you righteous? Then meet me at the place where I designate. Do you remember when God told Abram to offer up Isaac? He told him, he said, take thy son,
thy only son,
and bring him to the mount that you like.
That I show you.
The place that I appoint unto you. Bring him there. To the mount where I show you. And offer him up there for a sacrifice. And when he gets there, he puts him on the altar, takes his knife. Huh? What'd you say? He takes his knife and he stops
it.
He's just like David at this point. Mm-hmm. Abraham learned a few things about God's grace and his goodness. So to him, he tells the man, he says, hey, wait right here.
We'll be back.
I and the lad, we're going up to worship. But we'll be back. And he goes up there and he's already, and he said, wait, because in that place where God told him to meet him, he had a provision there.
Ram,
that's a bad ram, man. That's better, that's much better. He says, he provided his ram there, right? A ram there for sacrifice. So he called the name of that place.
Jehovah Jireh.
God will provide. That's what he's saying. That God has set forth. He provided the answer for you, for us, for righteousness. Do you want to be, you want the righteousness of God without working for it? He says God has provided a satisfying option. Not for you, it should satisfy you, for him. He said, this satisfies me. You should be okay with it. You should be. He says, this satisfies me.
You need to get off that list.
Huh?
You need to get off your list.
Get off the high horse.
You know, you said we all have a list.
Right.
We need to get off our own list. God's got his own and he's taking care of it.
And whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Through faith
in his blood.
To declare at this time his, who is his? His righteousness. That he might be just.
And the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus.
Of him that believeth in Jesus. I think. Now, we talked about him. One of his titles is the Word of God, right? That's Jesus Christ. He's also called the Lamb of God. So you think of lamb, then you're going to think of sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, a substitute. For sin. Huh? What'd you say? That's where his blood is sprinkled, right there. Mm-hmm. Right in front of God. Now, we're going to talk about a little bit more about the offering next week. But I will. Now, there's several offerings in the Old Testament, but they're all called the offerings of the Lord is what he wants. But that's the main one. And they all point to him. Mm-hmm. Now, if God is pleased with that, we should be, right? Now, that's why they said there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So anyway, we're going to stop. Where are we at? Verse 25.
Well, you just read 26, just and justifier.
Well, we'll pick up at 25 and just briefly. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. We pray, as always, that your word might impress our hearts and minds, that it might strengthen us in the inner man, encourage us as we continue to study and read. We thank you again for all those present. We pray again that you would strengthen us according to our needs, to your glory. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good lesson.